welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The inspired epistle to the Roman Church is one of the most profound writings in the world regarding religious matters. When we suggest the study of three lessons from Romans, we're not suggesting that there are so few lessons therein that we need to learn. We shall just consider three of them. Romans was written by one of the history's greatest men, the Apostle Paul. It was written on one of the greatest themes, the system of salvation that God provides through Jesus Christ. It was written to one of the first century's most notable churches, a church known for its faith and its knowledge and its love and loyalty to the truth. And by the time the Holy Spirit had Paul write these inspired words, Paul had been preaching Christ's gospel for nearly 20 years. He had completed two missionary journeys and was involved in a third. He had suffered much for the cause of Christ, enduring persecution, encountering opposition from both Jew and Gentile, adversaries from within and from without the church. He boldly debated the Jew who contended that one must be circumcised or he could not be saved. He debated with the pagan Gentiles and philosophers among them concerning the true and living God of heaven. He brought his vast experience and knowledge and love for Christ and his church to bear in these words, as well as being guided by the Holy Spirit in what was written. He introduced his theme when he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Beginning with verse 18 of chapter 1 through chapter 11, Paul presents a series of profound arguments regarding the doctrine of Christ and the scheme of redemption. And beginning with chapter 12, he exhorts his brethren to their Christian duties in light of the truth he had previously presented in the earlier chapters. Now it shall be our intent in this lesson to learn only three of the great lessons that we find in the book of Romans. In Romans 3 and verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Dear listening friend, Paul believed and taught salvation by the grace of God. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul taught that it was by a divinely given system that included the grace of God that man could be saved. The benefits of this grace were appropriated by man by man's faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be saved except by this system that involves God's grace and man's faith. Now, this system includes other elements. James 2:21 asks, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" And in verse 24, James concluded, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." These words have to be considered in light of what Paul wrote in Romans 3 and verse 20. "Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law under consideration here is the law of Moses, by which none can be justified before God. The law was never designed nor intended to bring justification for mankind. One thing, however, the law did, and that was to define sin, and also the sinfulness of sin, but it was not God's scheme to redeem mankind. The law of Moses is considered to be a law of works because the only way one could be what God wanted one to be under that law was to do something that is even impossible to do, namely, live perfectly without sin. There are, theoretically, two ways by which a person can be justified. One is by a system of his own works of merit whereby he earns and deserves salvation. The other is by a system of forgiveness of his sins. This last system is offered graciously by God to those who believe and obey the law of Christ. The other system fails completely to save man. Let me illustrate. When a person is accused of a crime, if he is innocent of that crime and is proven so, then he is set free because he deserves to be set free. He is not guilty. By his own merit, he should be set free. However, if he is guilty as charged, he can be set free only through forgiveness and pardon extended him by the grace of the court. If a person commits murder, he is a murderer. He may be forgiven of his crime, but never on the basis of his own merit, for his works were evil. He may do a million correct things thereafter, but none of them, indeed not all of them combined, would make his murder of a proper sort. Still, he may be justified by being pardoned by an unmerited favor granted him by those in authority. The point is that we can never be saved because we are righteous enough to deserve salvation or could ever earn the right to heaven. We can be acceptable before God only when God forgives us of our sins. And this forgiveness is offered by the grace of God toward man and to those who have faith to obey his commands, his law, his system. Even when we obey the law of Christ, we have not and we cannot earn salvation. Luke 17:10 tells us, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which ye are commanded, we are still unprofitable servants, and we have done that which was our duty to do." Oh, the corresponding teaching is in the book of Romans. If ever we see God in his glory, it will be by the system of grace of which we partake by an obedient faith. Unfortunately, some have taught error that there is no law and no works for man to do. The truth is that we must do the works of obedience required in the law of Christ. Even then, we're not relying upon works of our own merit because there is no salvation in those things. Grace does not dispute law, and obedience does not dispute faith. The system of salvation embraces God's grace and his mercy and his love and the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead by Christ, as well as man's faith and obedience to the law of Christ. There is no excuse for one taking one part of the system to the exclusion of any other part of the system God has given to save us. Never lived there a person so perfect that he could earn heaven. Only Christ, the Son of God, lived in sinless perfectness. If one could live perfectly, then he would have no need for the blood of Christ. He could bypass God's Son on his way to eternal glory. But Jesus said there was no other way except his way, John 14 and verse 6. Has there ever been a day in our lives when we would contend that every deed, every thought, every word, every attitude was perfect in every way? Has there ever been a day when some noble deed might have been done that was left undone? Who would dare suggest that they could be saved by their own merit? When Paul wrote Romans 3, 9 through 18, citing an Old Testament statement, he proved the point that they are all under sin. That's both Jew and Gentile. And verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Our first lesson from Romans is that salvation is by the grace of God and can be ours when we believe and obey the law of Christ. The second lesson takes less time to tell. In Romans 5 and verse 12, "Through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin." All the briars and the thistles and the thorns, the sickness, the pain, the sorrow, the jealousies, the enmities, the hatreds, the wars, the bloodshed, the death, Every evil that has come upon man has come as a result of the mighty tide of sin that was let loose with the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Every person since that time has been bombarded with temptation and has partaken of sin, with the exception of Christ, who was tempted but sinned not. The influence and power of sin cannot be adequately measured because of its magnitude. And yet, the grace of God that is offered through Christ is more abundant to and superior than all sin. It can cover all sin. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven when brought beneath the grace of God by obedient faith. Grace, with a more powerful hand than sin, meets this dark onrushing tide of woe and death and rolls it back, freeing man from its peril, giving man glory and beauty and honor that the wonders of Eden never surpassed. Romans 5 and verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There is no extent of sin that grace does not have the power to cover. Through Adam, mankind lost access to the tree of life. But through Christ, the tree of life is ours in the eternal city of heaven. Through Adam, we all die. But through Christ, we live. Through Adam, we lost our physical bodies. But through Christ, we gain our spiritual bodies. Through Adam, we lost the glories of Eden. But through Christ, we gain the glories of heaven. Through Adam, sin came rushing against mankind. But through Christ, sin is forgiven and it loses its power to destroy. Furthermore, because of God's grace and its power over sin, we live this life in hope and assurance, having been pardoned and washed clean by the Lamb's blood when we obeyed the law of Christ that calls for baptism into Christ, where we reach His blood. We have fellowship with deity and the redeemed of all ages, enjoying the outpouring of His providence while in this world. So our second lesson is that grace not only opposes sin, but is more powerful than sin and makes man spiritually whole and renewed. And the third lesson we wish to learn pertains to a mistake the Jews made. They thought, because they were fleshly descendants of Abraham, that they were acceptable to God. It seemingly never occurred to the Jew that the Gentiles could also be God's children, that the Gentiles could never be among the elect. But Paul declared in Romans 10, 12, and 13, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God created all mankind. He knows mankind. He has made His offer of grace through Christ to all mankind. All shall be saved the same way, namely, by the system of salvation, a system that includes God's grace, His mercy, His love, the blood of Christ, the power of His resurrection, and man's faith and obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. In Romans 2, 28 and 29, identifies God's chosen people, spiritual Israel. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." The same truth is presented in Galatians chapter 3. "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." As Peter declared at the house of Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him." Everyone must be saved, and everyone will be saved the same way. The same plan is offered to all, and all must follow that plan. And as we have said, it includes the grace, the mercy, the love of God, the blood of Christ, the power of His resurrection, and man's faith and obedience to the law of Christ. Now, having taught these three lessons, and many, many more, Paul began in chapter 12 with various admonitions to those who come to Christ. But the personal question facing each person is how much longer will those who are separated from Christ be content to let their eternity be in danger, and their souls be in damnation? How long before they arise and do the works of obedience that are motivated by faith in Christ, that enables them to be washed clean by the blood of Christ that has been provided by the grace and the mercy and the love of God? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.